Shabbos is always important, but I don't know, maybe there wasn't the right setting for that. So we decided between Chaim, Kenny, and myself, we came up with the following kind of a pshara, kind of a compromise. We were to talk about something which is relevant in terms of Shemir Shabbos, but not too Shabbos relevant. Namely, see as we go on, some important lessons that we can extract from Shemir Shabbos, not necessarily from the intricacies of the halachas of Shabbos, but from some of the hashkafa, some of the thought, some of the meaning, the deeper meaning of the Hilcha Shabbos, and perhaps be able to plug it into our own lives, not just on Shabbos, but really 6 other days a week as well. So let's try to take a little bit of an overview of Hilcha Shabbos and see how does it speak to us, how does it speak to our Avodas Hashem, and what very, very real practical, real life lessons can we take from halachas that we're really all familiar with, but to maybe make our Avodas Hashem just a little bit better, not only on Shabbos, but perhaps Sunday to Friday as well. The Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos tells us that there are really 4 different mitzvahs that are associated with Shabbos. And we're familiar with them. The mitzvah, of course, of Zohar, Yom HaShabbos Tekacho, and the Aseres Tadibros, Parshas Yisrael. The mitzvah of Zohar basically refers to Kiddush on Shabbos. It includes some of the other mitzvahs, Asay, some of the other positive mitzvahs that we do on Shabbos, eating a suda, lovas neiros, etc. But first and foremost, it refers to Kiddush. Then there's the mitzvah of Shomer, Yom HaShabbos, Shmira Shabbos. Shmira refers first and foremost to Melachos, not to do Melachos, which is, of course, the bulk of HaShabbos. Then there are 2 other dimensions of Shabbos. There's Kavod Shabbos, and there's Oneg Shabbos. We'll define them a little bit more in detail as we continue. 4 different mitzvahs of Shabbos. Zohar, Shomer, Kavod, literally just an honor and respecting Shabbos, Oneg, delighting and joy of Shabbos. Let's go through each one of these 4 mitzvahs that we're familiar with. We perform, Baruch Hashem, as Shomer Shabbos, as Zohar Shabbos, as Mechavde Shabbos, and Ma'anke Shabbos. We perform these mitzvahs week in and week out. What can we derive from these mitzvahs? How do these mitzvahs hopefully speak to each and every one of us? The mitzvah of Zohar Yom HaShabbos Tekacho, to remember. So let's stop for a moment and think just about the concept of remembering. We just finished not that all that long ago, hopefully we still remember, not that long ago, of the Yom Tov Pesach. And Pesach is primarily a time of Zechira. It's the day of the year that sets into motion the entire concept of Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim, the term that we refer to so often in our davening, particularly on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is a time of Zechira. Zechira memory is a very, very tricky thing. We know our memory plays tricks on us. Sometimes we have a phenomenal memory. We can remember every detail of something, and sometimes just can't seem to remember. It seemed like it just happened yesterday. Some people even have, I don't know if it's the official psychological term, selective memory. They remember what they want to remember. I know this is my kids, they'll never forget when the next baseball game is, but some of the faculty had homework that night goes right by them. So we know, as adults also, we tend to remember certain things. What's the common denominator? What are the things that we remember? What are the things that we don't remember? The answer is very simple. We remember ultimately what we want to remember, and we tend to forget the things that we don't really want to remember. In fact, a little bit of a drush in the pasuk. Pasuk says, Tzur Yilodcha Teshi Vatishkach Kelbucha Olecha. So the literal pasuk means that Tzur Yilodcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave birth to you, you forgot, Teshi is Lashon Shichcha, you forgot, and then the pasuk repeats, Vatishkach Kelbucha Olecha. It's double repeat, double Musar, you're forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Balei Musar say, you can read the pasuk in a different way. Pasuk in Hazinu, Tzur Yilodcha Teshi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the ability to forget. To forget is a tremendous bracha. Imagine what life would look like if we would remember everything. Every tzara, every aggravation, every problem we've had during the day we were born, and we always remember, we go nuts, because we couldn't survive. So Yalom Chadeshi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you this tremendous bracha of shichcha, of being able to forget. And what did you do? Vatishkach, Kelmucha Alecha. You took that gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you to forget the not such pleasant memories. And what did you do with it? You forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have the ability to remember, and we have the ability to forget. It's up to us to decide what we want to remember, ultimately, and what we want to forget. The real secret of the mitzvah of Leman Tizkos Yom Tzeischa B'Erev Tetzrayim Koyim Echayecha, we just began to discuss with Pesach. The real mitzvah of Zachis Yom HaShabbos Tekacho, the real mitzvah of Leman Tizkos V'Asisos Kol Mitzvos Hashem, the mitzvah of Zechira, what the Torah is really telling us is that we have to gear ourselves up, we have to psych ourselves up, that the mitzvahs are so precious to us, are so important to us, that those are the things that we want to remember. We remember the great events of our lives, we remember the things that we want to remember. Is Yetzias Mitzrayim something that's important enough to us? Is Shabbos something that's important enough to us? Are the mitzvahs Hashem Yisbarach things that are most important to us? Or do we violate what the Torah tells us? It's not all that important to us. We have other things that are up there on top of our agenda of significance. It's up to us to decide what we're going to remember, what we're not going to remember. The mitzvah of Zohar, not only concerning Shabbos, but really concerning everything. The mitzvah of Zohar, the Ramban, is a fascinating comment in Parshas Yisrael. The Ramban tells us that the mitzvah of Zohar and Shabbos, and by extension to other mitzvahs as well, refers to positive mitzvahs. Mitzvah of Kiddush, and so the Shabbos, lighting Shabbos candles, everything positive about Shabbos. Says the Ramban, all of Zohar, all the mitzvahs essay that we perform, all the positive commandments we perform throughout the entire year, throughout our lives, emanate from Ahavas Hashem, from the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person loves somebody, they want to do things. They don't want to refrain. They don't want to hold back. They want to connect. Mitzvahs Esei are a way of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvahs Esei of Shabbos, primarily, extension to other mitzvahs as well, are the way that we express our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want to stay away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're running to put on his tefillin. We're running to light the Shabbos candles. We're running to be mafresh his challah. We're running to do all the positive mitzvahs. That's an expression of Ahavas Hashem. So Zechira, Zachis of Shabbos HaKadosh is first and foremost an expression of Ava, a love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So two important lessons, two important messages we can walk away with from the mitzvahs of Zechira, Zachis of Shabbos. Number one, priorities, the things that we want to remember, and the things that we don't want to remember. And number two, every time we remember, we're showing that's important. We're showing that it's important because our showing that it's important is a corollary of our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a little bit about Zohar. A few days from now, we'll pick up a cup of wine, we'll fulfill Zohar, Shem Shabbos Zakacho. Maybe someone will remember what I said. No pun intended. Remember? Zechira. We move to Shomer Shem Shabbos Zakacho. Shomer, which of course takes up, as we said before, the bulk of Shmir Shabbos. Shomer is a very strange word. It's such a significant word, Shomer, that if you ask somebody to describe whether a person observes Shabbos or not, how do we call a person who keeps Shabbos? We don't say, so tell me about this person. I don't know, call for a shidduch. Tell me about the person. Is he a Zochre Shabbos? I think you're off the wall if you use that phrase. Is he Mechamed Shabbos? Is he Ma'anek Shabbos? People don't say that. Is he a Shomer Shabbos? You want to know, tell me about the store owner. You know, does he need a Mashkiach? Is he a Zochre Shabbos? Does he make it? You don't use that term. Shemir Shabbos. Shemir Shabbos is the phrase, bottom line, that defines whether a person is a keeper of Shabbos or not, a Shemir Shabbos. The term Shomer also has several nuances of meaning to it. Now, the term Shomer is a specific halachic term. It describes a relationship between two people. If I own an object, I own a car, I'm going away for a little while, I ask you to watch my car. So I enter into a relationship with you, we enter into a contract, into an agreement. I'm what's called the mafkid, I'm the owner, I'm the one who's handing over the object to be watched. You're the shomer, you're the watchman. You're a shomer. If the Torah refers to Shabbos as Shmir Shabbos, what the Torah is really telling us is that we are ultimately shomrim on Shabbos. We have a commitment, we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have responsibility to be a proper shomer on the item that's being entrusted in our care. Not only are we Shomrei Shabbos, but we're Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs also. The other phrase we say about a person, so tell me about this person. Is he a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs? Somebody don't say, is he an Oseh Torah Mitzvahs? Is he a Zocher Torah Mitzvahs? Doesn't sound right. Is he a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs? What does the word mean? Think about it. We say it all the time. I'm Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. He's a Shomer Shabbos. What does it mean to be Shomer? The Halacha tells us that when somebody is a Shomer, they have a certain degree of responsibility. The basic fundamental responsibility that a person has is not to be a pesheya, is not to be negligent. That's the basic fundamental level of responsibility everybody has, whether I'm getting paid for my job, not getting paid. A shomer is not permitted to be pesheya on the object that he's watching. You can't be negligent. If I'm asking you to wash my car, you can't leave the doors wide open with the keys in the ignition. You can't do that. That's called a pesheya. And if you do, you have to pay, you'll be obligated to pay if something happens to the object. So first and foremost, we have to be careful in our Shabbos observance and in our mitzvah observance that we're not pesheya, that we're not negligent. You know, there's a famous couple of words. I know we hear from my kids all the time. It's not my fault. Four famous words. It's not my fault. Now the truth is that very often that's quote unquote the case. It's not my fault. I'll tell you just something happened in my own family just not all that long ago. It was very simple, okay? It started out as a very innocent child playing with a baseball many, many, many feet away from a car. That's not my fault. Well, in the, you know, heat of the moment, somehow my 10-year-old decided that he was already not holding who the star shortstops all these days. I don't know. I don't want to date myself by saying someone from the 1920s, but whatever it was. So my kid decided that when he gets a ground ball, you don't just throw it. You make it 180 degrees spin around, except he ended up spinning in the wrong direction, and of course, breaking the window of the car. Now, there's the good news and the bad news. Okay? The bad news is that he broke the window of the car. The good news, it was my car. The bad news is that I gave him a whole shiur afterwards about Boba Kama. What happens when it caught them damages? Does he have to pay or not? Does his father have to pay? So he looks me straight in the face and said, Abba, you didn't have to pay because it was your car. He said, thank you very much. He did have to pay. He just didn't see it. So, you know, the standard answer was, it's not my fault. And in a certain sense, he's right. It's not my fault. He didn't mean to throw the ball. But, you know, a little bit of care, I mean, I'm not going to, I don't want to tell anybody, he was throwing the ball to me, so it was probably me who was a little bit, should have thought a little bit planned in advance. It's not my fault, but there's a little bit of negligence. There's a little bit of pshia. Pshia is something that becomes so critical in our observance of mitzvahs. Very often, you know, we end up doing things either on Shabbos or during the rest of the week, and it's a mitzvah observance. And you know, it's what we falls into the category of halach. It's called the shaygig. It's not my fault. It wasn't meant. It wasn't intentional. But you know what? The halacha tells us, if a person commits full Shabbos b'shaygig, he has to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. He has to go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for slicha, mechil, v'kapara. Remember we clap al chet, on Yom Kippur, al zdonos yal shkagos. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mechil, for shaygig also. What? But it's not my fault. The answer is that it may be true that that particular action may not have been your fault, but there was a certain mindset, there was a certain background. Things don't always happen in a vacuum. Comes the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos and says to us, we have to be Shomer Shabbos. We have to be careful. Sometimes, you know, we wonder, there are so many chumras midirabbanan and so many things on Shabbos that minat Torah technically permissible, but midirabbanan not allowed to do. After all, minat Torah, you're allowed to move a pencil on Shabbos. Minat Torah, you're not allowed to write with the pencil on Shabbos, but midirabbanan, you're not allowed to move the pencil. He asks most little kids, and he asks them, why aren't you allowed to write on Shabbos? You know what they're going to tell you? Because the pencil's muktzah, which is the exact opposite. The pencil is muktzah because you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. Why didn't the chachamim just say, follow the din minat Torah? Why the din derabbanan? Why the chumrah? We have so many things, so many fences and safeguards around the Torah. Why? So the answer is because it's so important, because it's so precious. If you have a precious jewel, you're not going to just leave it out in the open. Somebody may take it. If something really means something to you, if it's really important to you, you're going to be shomer it. You're going to watch it. You're going to hold on to it. You're going to hold on to it for dear life. If Shabbos is really, truly dear and precious to you, so I understand. Muktzah, I understand. Gezeirus d'rabbanan, I understand. Safeguarding around the halacha, it makes sense. But the object is so critical and so important and so precious. Shemir Shabbos and Shemir HaMitzvahs makes all the sense in the world. So this Zohar Yom Shabbos, the Shabbar Yom Shabbos, says the Ramban, in that same Ramban in Parshas Yisrael, where does Shemir Shabbos emanate from? If Zechir Shabbos emanates from Avos Hashem, where does Shemir Shabbos emanate from? Says the Rabban, it emanates from Yiras Hashem. From fear of awe, trepidation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shemir Shabbos. Now the word Yira, you know, somehow we, you know, in our society, in our world, you hear the word Yira, so we take a step back, you know. We don't like to think of being, we think of Yira, we think people are anxious, we're nervous, that's not a good positive thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik once explained, they said, 100% right. We don't want to advocate. We don't want people to suffer from anxiety. We don't want people to be afraid of things. You know, we're not looking for that. But there's only one kind of year that's really, really good and really, really healthy. Yerushalayim is a good thing. Yerushalayim is not a bad thing. When we speak about Yira, about Yerushalayim, so I want to refer to what the Rishonim refer to as the highest level of Yerushalayim. What does it mean, Yerushalayim? We throw the words around so much. Does he have Yerushalayim? How's Yerushalayim? I love that question. People call me and ask me about the, I guess because who I'm married to, so people call me a lot about Shidduchim also. They think that it's a proud cell phone. So they call me and I love the question they ask me. How is the Bacha's Yerushalayim? That's the question. Is he Yerushalayim or not? To which I, usually in a respectful, a little bit of a joking way, I say, next time I speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I will try to find out about how his Yerushalayim is. I do not consider myself to be a judge of somebody's Yerushalayim. You want to ask me about, did he get 100 of the Bechina? Take a look and see whether that's an indication whether it's good Shidduch or not. I can't tell you. That I can measure, I can tell you. But to tell you a person's Yerushalayim, far be it for me to be a judge of. Yerushalayim, what the Rishon described is Yerus HaRenimus. An awe, a feeling somehow of trepidation in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful feeling. It's not a scary feeling. It's not a negative feeling. It doesn't create anxiousness. It's not a tense feeling. It's a blown away feeling. It's an awe, pachad, neir, gayam. That's Shmir Shabbos. That's exactly what the mitzvah Shmir Shabbos is. That's what the mitzvah Shmir Shabbos is. That we should have such a year, such pachad, neir, gayam. That's the mitzvah Yerushalayim. I've told over before in different contexts about several summers ago, so I was in, used to run a summer program in LA for a while ago. And I used to bring some bachurim from yeshiva out there. We used to learn for about 6 weeks or so. Then at the end of the summer, you know, we spend 1 or 2 days, you know, running around, bouncing around, doing some, a little bit of fun things. So the bachurim wanted that we should all go to the Grand Canyon. That was a big grandiose plan. We'll grab 2 cars, we'll drive off to the Grand Canyon. So I'm trying to make a cheshbon, you know, it's a long drive, it's 8 hours, there, back and forth, it's a lot of time. You know, I was negotiating, maybe we could do Disneyland, you know, it's a little shorter, that. Trying to figure out, what can we do? So I thought to myself, you know what, the Grand Canyon is a better choice. But I made a tenai with the bachurim, I made a condition with the bachurim. Before we set out, I remember, sat them all down, I said, listen, before we go, I'm not so chassidish, I'm not so usually into the hinni mucharim zuman, but I said, we're going to all say together, hinni mucharim zuman, l'kayim mitzvahs esei shel Torah. They looked at me like I was crazy. L'kayim mitzvahs esei shel Torah, shel yirah shemayim. I said, we're going to fulfill what the Rambam describes, the mitzvah yirah shemayim means to appreciate the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To see the pachad nor of the oyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the mitzvah derais of yirah shemayim. I said, if it takes an 8-hour trip to do that, it's worth it. 8 hours to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa, it's worth it. It's a good investment. So that's the only justification to go. I said, otherwise, spend 16 hours in the car with a bunch of, bouncy teenagers. I said, listen, I can do other things in my time. I said, but we're all going to go together to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of Yerushalayim, so be it. That's the mitzvah. That's the Shema Kechatira. That's the mitzvah Shema Shema Shabbos. When Shabbos begins, when a person thinks, the Boyre Olam, when you get up and you make Kiddush and think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vayechulu Hashemayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Grand Canyon and the Atlantic Ocean and each and every one of us, that's grandeur, that's majesty, that's trembling, that's Manoira Masecha, that's the Mitzvah Deraisa of Shoma, that's the Mitzvah Deraisa of Shema Kechatira. So we have a little bit of an understanding about Zohar, a little bit of an understanding about Shomor. Let's move on to some other dimensions of Shabbos. Nabi Yeshayahu refers to 2 other mitzvahs concerning Shabbos. The Karas LeShabbos Oynek, L'Kedosh Hashem Mechubad. There's a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah of Oynek Shabbos. What's the difference technically between the two? So the Vilna Gaon comments based on the Lashon Rambam of Shabbos that Kavod Shabbos always refers to what you do before Shabbos, the preparation before Shabbos. Oynek refers to the enjoyment of Shabbos itself. So you want to just put it into a very, very blunt example. When you bake the cholent, that's called Kavod Shabbos. When you eat the cholent, that's called Oynek Shabbos. That's what it says in the Gra. I remember years ago, I was at a bar mitzvah with somebody, and it was one of the people there was a Hasidish fellow, a little bit related to me, and we were sitting at the same table, and he followed the custom that every time he took a bite of food, he said, L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So he took a piece of gefilte fish, L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, he took a bowl of soup, but everything was L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. And here, you know, as a misnagger, it was just rubbing me the wrong way. So I just couldn't take it anymore. I didn't say anything. That's nice. But what he should have said was, L'Oynik Shabbos Kodesh. He said, Malach, when the caterer makes the kugel, then you say L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. When you eat the kugel, if it's a good kugel, then you say L'Oynik Shabbos Kodesh. You know, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, everyone's supposed to participate in Kavod Shabbos. So everybody, men, women, children, everyone's supposed to do something in Kavod Shabbos. The Gemara says how Ravi used to make the fish, and this one used to prepare this, for everyone used to prepare something for the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So I remember Rabbi Willig once said that it's very nice to fulfill the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, but you're not supposed to fulfill your Kavod Shabbos at the expense of everybody else's Oynek Shabbos. So if you're not such a good cook, so you buy the challah, you buy the soda. Don't make the fish and ruin it for everybody else. So there's Kavod Shabbos and there's Oynek Shabbos. So to tell the Hasidish fellow that the Vilna Gaon said that Kavod is before and owning is on, I didn't think the Vilna Gaon, I didn't think it was a good mix, so I just left out. But this Kavod is owning. What does the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos tell us? What the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos really indicates for us is a famous phrase of Chazal, which is so true not only of Shabbos, but really true of life. Misha Torach Be'er Shabbos Yechav Shabbos. What the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, that the relationship between this world and the next world, this world is the Bechina of Erev Shabbos. That Misha Torach Be'er Shabbos Yechav Shabbos. And we learn this lesson week in and week out as we prepare for Shabbos. When you prepare for Shabbos, then there's food on Shabbos. When you don't prepare for Shabbos, then there's nothing to eat on Shabbos. And that lesson of Kavod Shabbos is something which is so powerful, it goes way beyond the 6 days on Shabbos. It's a lesson of a lifetime. Chazal was so concerned with Misha Torach Be'er Shabbos, Yechav B'Shabbos, that we just had last week, we fulfilled the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin. What is an Erev Tavshilin all about? What's about Erev Tavshilin? Strange mitzvah. You take a piece of kafutah, pesha matzah, challah, whatever it is. Hopefully, if it's Pesach, you're not taking a challah. You're taking, with a whole shaylik, you take something that's kibros for the 8th day, or a 7th day, we have a lot of lumbus of last week's Erev Tavshilin. But what's it all about? So the Gemara quotes one opinion. You know why there's an Erev Tavshilin? Because Chazal were afraid that on Yontif, a person can eat up all the food, it's going to come Shabbos, there's going to be nothing to eat. And Misha Torah, there's nothing to eat on Shabbos. Can you imagine a scenario that Yontif's over, Shabbos is about to begin, and there's nothing to eat? Chazal was so concerned that they instituted that you have to make sure, even if there's nothing to eat, at least there's a piece of kafilta fish, at least there's an egg stuck away in the fridge, at least there's a challah, at least there's a piece of matzah somewhere on top of the fridge. There's something, Misha Torah, we have Shabbos, we have Shabbos. That's what the mitzvah of Kavod speaks to us. The mitzvah of Oneg, the fourth of the mitzvahs. You enjoy Shabbos. What could I possibly say about that? Pretty straightforward. You like cholent to cholent. You like cookly cook. What could be something? One of the easiest mitzvahs to perform, right? Oneg Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch quotes, it's a Oneg Shabbos. To sleep on Shabbos, for those who enjoy sleeping on Shabbos. Gevaldik, wonderful. Oneg Shabbos. Learning on Shabbos is an Oneg Shabbos. Hopefully for those who enjoy it. A lot of things we do, Baruch Hashem. Oneg Shabbos. It's a very simple, straightforward mitzvah. What could be complicated about it? Chazal tells us something fascinating, Maseches Beitza, about a person's entire essence, their entire being, come Shabbos Kodesh. Chazal speaks about the Neshama Yaseira. It's about the extra soul, the extra Neshama, very spiritual, very, up in the clouds type of idea. Neshama Yaseira and Shabbos. Comes Rashi and says, what does the Neshama Yaseira mean? How does it express itself that each and every Jew has Neshama Yaseira and Shabbos? So Rashi says, a person's unbelievable phenomena on Shabbos. A person eats a lot more than he eats the rest of the week. That somehow he never gets filled. Don't test Rashi on that one. He doesn't get filled. I guess Rashi wasn't talking about assuming you had a kiddush in shul. He's assuming you come home from davening and you go straight to lunch. But comes Rashi and says, you're not filled up. Rashi says, that's the Neshama Yaseira. That's the Neshama Yaseira at work. It's interesting, there's a strange machlekes in Rishonim. Is there a Neshama Yaseira and Yontif or not? It's an interesting, fascinating machlekes. So why can't you test it? You should eat a lot of Yontif and see, you're full or not. So I mean, you can't figure out. What does it mean? I don't understand Rashi. That's a Neshama Yaseira. That's a goof Yaseira. If you're going to tell me that you eat more, it means your stomach somehow expands, you didn't know that you had that possibility, you can eat more on Shabbos than the rest of the week and not fill up, that's not a Neshama Yaseira, that's a goof Yaseira. So what does Rashi mean? That's a Neshama Yaseira. So I think perhaps what Rashi is telling us is a very profound lesson. It's profound for Shabbos and it's profound for the rest of the week and for our entire life. Chazal tell us that if you look at the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, a very strange thing. The Aron Kodesh didn't take up any space. It's a concept we can't even begin to fathom. You take a tape measure from one end of the wall to the other, and the Aron didn't take up any. What do you mean? Was it physical? Was it not physical? What do you mean it didn't take any room? What Chazal are telling us is that sometimes there are things in this world that appear to be physical, and yet they're merely a figment of our imagination. They're not physical. They're spiritual entities. You may think you can touch them and feel them, and look, they're different. They're from a different world. The Aron is Einam and Amida. The Aron HaKodesh, the Luchos, that were placed in the Beis HaMikdash, were not physical. Yes, you could touch them. Yes, you could. They were a different world. They were something from the other world. They didn't really belong in this world. They were Dover Aruchni that happened to be housed in a make-believe place of Dover Agashmi, but they were Dover Aruchni. But Rashi is telling us is that the food that a person eats on Shabbos is not Gashmi's food. It's a, why do we eat the Suda Zechel Amon? The Mon wasn't bound by the physical rules. Physical rules of eating is a person eats, provides nutrition, and then the waste product has to be removed. 40 years didn't exist. That concept didn't exist. You ate like a malach. There was no waste, but there was nothing. The Mon was Lechem Abirim, it was Lechem Ruchni, it was a spiritual existence. Each and every Shabbos, that's what we reenact, the Nes of the Mon. We sit down and we eat a chal, we eat a chul, we eat a kugel on Shabbos. It may look to be physical, but it's not. It's a dover ruchni. And therefore Rashi says, it can't fill you up. It's impossible to fill. Filling up is a physical phenomenon. When my kishkas fill up, there's too much food in there, I can't eat anymore. What do you want? Katz from the zonah. That doesn't exist when you're outside of physical realm. You're in the spiritual realm. So if you want to know why is it that sometimes we eat on Shabbos and we're not full, why is that? It shows that maybe we're not eating is Neshama Yisera. Maybe that's a guf that's eating. Neshama Yisera means when a person's eating on Shabbos as a ruchni, a stick of food, then Neshama Yisera takes over. What a powerful lesson, what a Suda Shabbos is supposed to be. A Suda Shabbos is a spiritual existence. Of course it's good food, of course the shul is good, of course the kugel is good, no question about it. But it's fundamentally not a physical existence, it's fundamentally a spiritual experience. That's the way you approach a Shabbos meal. And ultimately, that's how you approach all of Gashmis in this world. The way we approach pleasure, enjoyment in this world, whatever pleasure and enjoyment enhances our Avodas Hashem, then it's a Dover Ruchni. Then it belongs, then it's appropriate, then we're all for it. Whenever it's something that counteracts Avodas Hashem, whenever it's something that's not in sync with Avodas Hashem, whenever it's something that detracts us, takes us away from Avodas Hashem, then there's no purpose to it. Suda Shabbos is the model for our behavior, our relationship with Olam Hazeh. To take Olam Hazeh and to use it in a spiritual realm, then it becomes L'malam in a Teva. Then it becomes Makom Ha'orah in a Nemidah. That's the message. That's what Onik Shabbos means. That's what the Navi promises to the person who's Ma'anik is a Shabbos, that Nachla B'li Mitzorim, the Keros L'Shabbos, Onik V'Dosh Hashem, Mechubit Aztis Anag Al Hashem. We read the Pasuk, the Navi Yishayahu. Some of us say, when we make Kiddush on Shabbos morning, did you ever stop to think what it means? Because you eat shulam, therefore you're going to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, come on. That's a very different type of enjoyment. No, the answer is it's not. If you're enjoying shulam because it's just a good piece of meat and potatoes, that's not going to lead to Asdes Anag Hashem. But if the shulam is being used as a vehicle, as a medium to reach Avodas Hashem, so it's going to accomplish exactly what it's supposed to. Asdes Anag Hashem. So four mitzvahs that we perform on Shabbos, that seems so straightforward. We've been doing this since we're kids. We're making kiddush, and we're not doing malacha, and we're cooking for Shabbos, and we're eating a cholder. We do this week in, week out, week in, week out. Maybe just stop for a moment and think, what messages, what lessons do these four mitzvahs have to impact not only on our Shabbos, but on our entire existence? Well, let's just conclude with one last point. As great a mitzvah Shabbos is, and the Ikari Hamuna, and so one of the mitzvah chamuras b'yosya, and everything, but there's one thing more important than Shmir Shabbos. And we know, Mishnah tells us, if Rahman will tell you have a person who's a chola, sheyesh b'sakwana, a person's life is in danger, it's not Shabbos. Whatever has to be done, l'tzarech ha'chola, pikuach nefesh. In two words, trumps Shmir Shabbos. As great as Shmir Shabbos is, and as chomer as it is, whether it's a skila, and it's a kareis, and a lamites b'lah, and the whole picture, but the bottom line is, there's something that's more important. That's chayim, life, pikuach nefesh. Comes the Gemara Maseches Yumin tells us, how do you measure chayim for these purposes? What if you have a situation where, it's what we call in halacha chayi shah, whatever that amount is, chayi shah is also derech Shabbos. Because ultimately, there is no value that we can put, there's no number we can put on life. Chayim in and of itself is so precious in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it trumps everything we've been talking about. The last 40 minutes of Shir, one moment of life beats out everything. And why is that? What is so profound about each and every moment of life? Chazal say, V'shomu b'nei Yisrael Shabbos, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kidei Sheyishma Shabbos Hashardin. That it's an investment, so to speak. A person sometimes has to be Mechal Shabbos now in order to ensure Shmir Shabbos in the future. Namely, the value of life ultimately is measured in the ability a person can do things with life, can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can do mitzvahs. Every moment, every second of life is so precious. The famous story about the Vilna Gaon, he was an older man, and all of a sudden, he was sitting and he started to hold his tzitzis and he started to cry. And he asked the boy, why is he crying holding his tzitzis? The Gra. So the Gra said, because in this world, for a couple of rubles, a couple of pennies, you can buy a pair of tzitzis, and you can fulfill a mitzvah. Chayim means opportunity. Chayim means possibility. Chayim means Avodas Hashem and Dveikus Hashem. There is no price tag that can ever be placed on that Chayim. At the end of the day, that Chayim ultimately overrides everything, even as cooling as great as Shemir Shabbos is. So we walk away from Zohar, from Shomer, and Kavan, and Oneg, with hopefully important lessons for our life. But Olah Gabi everything, perhaps if we just take a look at the significance of life, and every moment of life, every second of life, what we can do, the possibilities are endless, what we can do with the Chayim, the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So hopefully, in the schus and art, taking a little bit of a deeper look, perhaps, at Chayim, so hopefully that should be the greatest schus for art Chayim.
Thank you, Rabbi Sobolovsky. We're going to say Tehillim now, and as I say every week, Chaim is very mocked, but the shir should be a refuah shleima for Yosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkit and all the Poli Yisrael. We'll say Tehillim, we'll say Mishperach, and then we'll daven Maariv in the den.